Is it Karen Joby or whatever? I think it's her song, yeah. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you, Father, for all the wonderful giftings that are in the body of Christ, especially here, right here at River of Life. And we just bless the message today. We thank you, Lord, that it will uplift, it will encourage, it will edify, it will strengthen us as Holy Spirit speaks through me today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. We like to have these fill-ins, by the way, if you're new, simply to help you take better notes, not go to sleep. And I am loaded for bear today. I'm going to be sharing with you what is the Lord doing with his church? Fair question. And at the end, I'm going to give you this, not in your notes, but I'm going to give you what I sense the Holy Spirit over the last couple of weeks has been talking to me about, where some very specific things other than just what I'm sharing with you now in this fill-in. Okay, so let's go. All right, let's look at the first scripture. It's in Zechariah 10, verse 1, and these are all, we'll just go from scripture to scripture. Normally we have our little video here, but it's not working right now. So Zechariah 10, 1, the Bible says, ask the Lord for rain. Now, how many know that this is not just natural rain? He's talking about the rain of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Say, that's right now. How many know everything is timely now because of Jesus? Isn't that right? Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord will make, and by the way, the word latter rain means harvest rain. There were two rains in Israel. There was the seed rain, and then there was the latter rain, the harvest rain that came just before in April, just before the harvest. All right. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. How many know that we are in a time when the Holy Spirit is just pouring out upon his people? Can you say amen? It's pouring out upon us. And how many say more, Lord? Say, keep coming, Holy Spirit. All right. So let's go to the next one. This is in Joel, confirmation scripture. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's time for you to be glad, not sad. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. By the way, you know, we're okay with any kind of expression of joy. I'm not talking about the flesh, but I remember one time there was a lady here. She moved away. She's a grandmother. And she moved away to be with her grandkids about a year or two ago. But she was with us for years. And she got so happy in the Lord one day. And this is really kind of against what normally she would do. That's why I knew it was God. And all of a sudden, I looked down. And there was a real spirit of joy in the house that day. She's rolling on the floor. Right? Now, I kid people about that sometimes that are new here. You know, I had one young guy. I went up to him and I said, now, we get happy. And I said, when we get happy, I said, some of us like to roll on the floor. And this guy was with his fiance who was here. She's a part of the church. And he's looking at her like, maybe I'm in the wrong place, you know. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. Just chill. Don't worry about it. But we're okay with real expressions of joy here. So tell your neighbor it's okay to be happy and joyful in God. Said, he has given you the former rain, the seed rain, faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, that's the seed rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So God is getting ready to do something he could not do in the natural. Because one of the rains, the former rain, would come in, the seed rain would come in October and November in Israel. But the latter rain, the harvest rain, would come in April. But he said, I'm doing a new work. This is a spiritual work. And I'm going to give a double portion outpouring. How many vote for that? You're for that. Okay. The threshing floors will be full of wheat. That's people. And the vats will overflow with new wine. How many know the new wine is the joy of the Lord? Right? I mean, no, we can't have enough of that. And then he said what? The oil, which is revelation, understanding, right? He said, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, doesn't sound too appetizing, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. So God is restoring in these days. Tell your neighbor, God is restoring joy to you. He is restoring substance to you because this is your day. Amen. Ooh, glory, man. I feel it. I feel it. All right, let's go. Hosea. These are all prophetic scriptures for today. Okay? Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. I want to thank you for being here today. You know why? Because you're pursuing the knowledge of the Lord. Tell the person next to you, congratulations. You're pursuing God's knowledge. And then it says, his going forth is established as the morning. How many believe that when you wake up tomorrow, the sun will be there? Right? He says, my going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the what? Like the rain. Now, I'm not just pulling this out of the air. Scripture interprets Scripture, okay? He said, he will come to us like the rain, like the, there it is again, like the latter and former rain. Notice it brings them together to the earth. Say, that's my earth. So that all the seed that God has planted in you over the years is coming forth. This is a time of promotion. This is a time of growth. This is a time to really be happy in God. All right. We have an, is that primarily it? Let me check my notes so we can give you the fill-ins. Okay. Let me give you the fill-ins, and then I'll do the last two scriptures. Zechariah 10:3. We'll check that out in just a minute. And then Job 39. I'm so pumped about this. All right. So, here's the fill-in. Number one, the result of God's outpouring is seen in Zechariah 10:3. We're going to read that in just a minute. We will be fearless. Say fearless. That's the fill-in. And battle-tested. Battle-tested. So, let's look at Zechariah 10:3. How many know we are living in a day when we cannot be intimidated? All right? How many know the devil is intimidated by us, right? This is not a time to be intimidated. It's not a time to back off. It's not a time to stay at home. So I'm saying thank you for being here. It's a time to say, hey, this is my time to shine. This is my time to help lead the battle. It's my time to take the kingdom to the United States. We believe that there is a kingdom called the kingdom of God that dwells within us. How many know you have it already? But so many people don't know what that is. And how many know when it's all said and done, it's just going to be about the kingdom of God? Can you say amen? I love our nation, but our nation needs to come back to God. Can you say amen? How will that happen, Pastor Dave? Through you. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. It has to come through. It's a collective thing. Now, Zechariah 10:3, I love this. He said, my anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goat herds. For the Lord of hosts will visit his flock. Say, I'm his flock. The house of Judah. How many know what Judah means? The house of praise. Why do you guys praise like you do? Because we are Judah. We are the house of praise and worship. How many love to worship the Lord? Amen. Hey, that's what you've been called to do. And look at this. And I will make them as his royal horse in the battle. All right? I knew you knew that you were sheep, but how many know you are God's royal horse in the battle? All right? We don't need to whinny now, but you are God. Tell your person next to you, you are God's royal house, or royal horse in the battle. Now, let's shift over to Job. I love this. This is from the mouth of God to Job, all right? And this is who you are. Most of you haven't read this verse. Have you given the horse strength? He's telling Job. No, he said, it's me that has done it. Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him as a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. Listen, that's who you are supposed to be. You are God's goodly, courageous horse in the battle. This is not a time for retreat. This is a time to go forward, to get filled with the Holy Ghost afresh. Pastor Dave, you sound fanatical. Yeah, I am. I mean, no, it's a good thing to be fanatic for Jesus, right? Now, I'm not going to roll down the aisle, so nobody freak out, all right? We're not talking about that. But this is who you are. You're not just sheep. You are also, in this hour, because of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, you are God's goodly horse in the battle. It says, he mocks at fear. He's not frightened. Nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him. The glittering spear and the javelin. This is God Almighty talking to Job. He devours the distance with the fierceness of his rage. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. That's who you are. That's who you're born to be in this hour. You're not only sheep that follow the good shepherd, but you are also his goodly, courageous horse in the battle. And who's riding you? Who's in the saddle? Is it us or is it Jesus? It's Jesus. All right, so we're going to break this down in a minute to show you how this is going to work. Because it's not enough for me just to give you a prophetic scripture. I'm a teacher as well at heart, so I have to show you how this works out in a day-by-day basis. But I do get pumped reading those scriptures. All right, so let's look at number two. And I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to give you the fill-in, and then we'll read the scripture, all right? What are the results of God's outpouring? His laws of the kingdom of God will be established within us. I'm going to read that in just a minute. These laws were imparted when we were born again or reborn, but manifest in the midst of pressure and warfare. All right, so great scripture. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, I believe it is. There you go. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more. So God is saying that the way boldness is coming, the way the power of the kingdom of God is going to be released, is going to be by the fact that he is writing his laws in your heart. Now, it's not just the Ten Commandments that he's writing. Because the Bible said he found fault with that. But there are three really awesome laws that I'm going to share with you in just a minute that will make the difference. It will make the difference. And it will give you boldness like you've never known. One of my good friends who has survived every kind of thing you could imagine, he fell off a mountain 90 feet into a lake. And he survived. Wow. Carlos Estrada, he's an old brother now, he and his wife. But he had made up his mind he's going to follow the Lord wherever the Lord would take him. He established a number of churches in Cuba, and then he was driven out of Cuba just with the clothes on his back by Fidel Castro when the communists took over. Okay? And then He about a year later, God spoke to him, said, it's time for you. I'm sending you to Lima, Peru. He knew nobody in Lima, Peru. But he was God's goodly horse. in the battle. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, he and his wife. They went down to Lima, Peru, knowing nobody, in a highly Catholic city. And he was able to preach the word. He would go out in public parks and preach the word and pray for the sick. And he raised up a church. A lot of young people responded. He began to take young people into his home, his apartments, he and his wife, and they would train them in the morning, and in the afternoon they would go out into the park, and they would pray for the sick, and God would raise the dead and heal the sick, and it was just like the New Testament. When I went to see him for the first time, 1973, they already had 160-some churches established, not only in Lima, Peru, but also Ecuador and Chile. Why? Because he was so full of the Holy Spirit, he and his wife. They believe that nothing is impossible for God. Tell your neighbor right now, nothing is impossible for your God. You know why? Because you're filled with his Holy Spirit, right? He has written his what? His laws in your heart. This is going to be a new day for you. Hallelujah to the Lord. All right, let's look at number three. All right. What are these laws that will make us bold and fearless? Are they the Ten Commandments? No. God found fault with that covenant because of man's inability to obey them. It would take a new covenant to activate the laws of the kingdom of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 8. All right. He said, for if the first covenant, that's the old covenant, had been faultless, there would be no place sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, with what? With the laws on the tables of stone, the people couldn't keep it. It was impossible for them to keep it. He said, because they weren't born again, they needed the Holy Spirit. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. How many know those days are here right now? We are already in the new covenant. A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. So, we are in a time when God has poured out his Spirit. He has put his laws in our heart. And this is a brand new day. Right? Now, let's move on. We have more. Oh, we got the verse 13? Okay. Thank you. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says a new covenant he has made, the first obsolete, that's the old covenant, now what is becoming obsolete and growing old and is ready to pass away. When that was written, that was the fact. All right. So, tell your neighbor, you are in the new covenant. Now, you got some new laws here, and we're going to get right into these. So let's look at them. What are those kingdom laws? What are they? All right. So I'm going to give you the first one here is the royal law of love. The royal law of love. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we call this the royal law, and it's the law of love. And, you know, it's so amazing. How many of you have found out that after you got born again and God put his love into your heart, and you realize that you were accepted and loved by God, that you could love and forgive people who beforehand you would have never forgiven. Huh? How many in that situation? Right? And so God is saying for us to go on and to have that boldness that the Lord wants us to have, we need to forgive people. We need to let people off the hook. We need to release people. You say, well, how can I do that? That person really hurt me. But when you consider what Jesus Christ did for you and I and released us, we ought to say, hey, you know, that's a no-brainer. Of course I forgive you. Of course I release you, right? And this is literally what the Lord is wanting for us. So I tell you, how many of you saw the movie, I think it was called Unbroken? Remember that a few years ago? It's a true story about a guy. He passed, I think, at 97, Louis Zamperini. Good Italian guy, right? He ran in the 1936 Olympics. I think he was 19 years old. He was a miler. And then during when World War II broke out, he was a pilot. And he crashed his plane. And the Japanese picked him up, treated him terribly for a whole year, beat him unmercifully every day. They had a prison guard there that was over the whole camp, and he would just pound him every day. One day he had every one of the people who were in the camp who were in prison hit him right in the face as hard as they could. Should have killed him, but God kept him. And the time came, he got released after being in the prison camp for a year and a half, whatever. He got released, and he went home, but he was still very bitter at what had happened, very bitter at the Japanese people. And so the time came when his wife said, because he was really drinking heavily, and she said, "You need help." He said, "I don't want to hear it." She went to a Billy Graham crusade. It was in Los Angeles, 1949. And she got saved. And she said, "Louis, I want you to go with me. Because the only hope for us and the only is a husband and wife, and the only hope for you is for you to go to this crusade." So I'm not promising anything. He said, "I'll go, but I'm not promising anything." The second day he was there, he got saved. Walked the aisle. God totally transformed him to the point where he was able to forgive all these guys that had beat him. He went back to Japan and had a crusade. They let him have a crusade. And he said, "I want to see especially." He went to the prison camp where the people, the Japanese soldiers that had beat him up and treated him unmercifully, they were all in one camp, and he went and preached the gospel to them and told them publicly, "I love you and I've forgiven you because I have the royal law of Jesus Christ." And when Jesus Christ is in our heart, how many know that we can love whoever he wants us to love? And nothing is impossible. Isn't that beautiful? He talked to the guy that beat him up badly. But that guy didn't want anything to do with him. He said, "I'm just going to stay the way I am. I don't even talk to you." And Louis said, "I still love you in Christ, and I still forgive you." Right? So how many know this is very real? Another case was, how many of you ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? I don't know if you ever read any of her books, but she also went back and spoke to the prison guards that were over her. Her sister was, I think, died in the prison camp. And before she was born again, she wanted to destroy all these people. But then she met Jesus. She got filled with the love of Christ and was able to go back and meet with the head commandant that was over her in the prison camp and publicly, personally released him and prayed for him. And he wept like a baby, received Christ. He said, "I know your God is real because no one in their right mind could do what you just did." Wow. Tell your neighbor, this is real. How is it possible to do that? Because you are filled with the love of God. It's one of the laws, the royal law of love. Let's look at the second one. Second is the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. James 1:25. I'll give you the whole thing in just a minute. When we know we are perfectly accepted by God because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have the courage to come boldly to the Father. We want to do the right thing at the right time. We have no guilt, rather peace and courage. Wow. Say the law of liberty. I'm thinking of a man. He's with the Lord now. His name is Peter Gruitz. And he and his wife, Pat, they lived in Detroit. His wife was on, she was actually a part of the ministry staff there, wrote books, spoke, awesome speaker. I think she just recently passed, very old lady. But her husband had a Cadillac dealership. And he would go to church with her, but he wasn't really, he wasn't filled with God. He went because, you know, it was a thing that they expected him to go to church. And then he cheated on her. And I remember I was there back in the late 60s when I was in the church. I was there visiting. And I think our pastor was speaking, Pastor Green was speaking. And she found out that her husband had cheated on her. And I could hear her wailing, literally. It felt terrible. And we were on our knees praying for her. But when she got up, she was filled with the love of God. And she believed that the Lord could turn the whole thing around. How many know if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have any hope? But she trusted that the Lord would turn that whole thing around. And you know what? The time came when he not only came back to God, but he came back to her. He was restored. And then, how many know when God does something, he does it all the way if you're willing to go with him? And so he said, I'm going to sell my dealership. I want to go into the ministry with you. He sold out his Cadillac dealership, and he went into the ministry with Pat Gruitz, his wife. And the time came when they went to a real easy country to work, Haiti. I'm being facetious. He goes to Haiti, and they raise up. First of all, they went in there and established a clinic where they had doctors, nurses, medicine going on to let the people know how much they were loved by God. Then that flourished, and then they started a church. And then they started a Bible school. You say, how do you know all this? I've been there. Been there. Well, years passed, and more people came into the church. More people came to work in the clinic. Many, many thousands of people were touched just coming to the clinic and getting help. And I remember Pat and Pete Gruitz came to Word of Faith. I think this is like in the late 80s. And we went out to breakfast with them. Pastor Green said, Dave and Ina, would you please take them to the airport? Because they're going down to Miami. They're going to catch a plane out of Miami to go back to Haiti. They'd been there a number of years. So Ina and I took them to the airport after we had breakfast and great fellowship. And we stood outside the concourse, and we held hands, and we blessed them and blessed their trip back to Haiti. A few hours later, we found something tragic had happened. They landed in Miami. They were going through the customs part, and he just dropped dead. He'd had a heart condition. And yet the Lord kept him alive for years. So she went back there, eventually went back and just pastored it herself. And other people would come to help her and everything. But man, you talk about the law of liberty. How many know when the Lord sets you free, you're free? Tell the person next to you, when God sets us free, we're free, right? He could have lived his whole life in the guilt of cheating against his wife, and yet he was so cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so washed clean, that he had this wonderful liberty of the Holy Spirit going on in his life. You may remember the girls, don't you, Debbie? I know Hal and Cindy remember them too. So not only are you filled with the perfect law of love, but also you are filled with the perfect law of liberty. Say, that's me. Say, I'm free. All right. Final one. is the law of faith. Let's look at Romans 3:27, the law of faith. See, these three laws are in your heart. And as you study this, no enemy can defeat you. You'll be as bold as a lion, right? Why? Because you know, first of all, that you're mightily loved by God. Tell your neighbor, you are mightily loved by God. The second thing is you've been set free. The law of liberty, you're free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. And because you're free, your conscience is free, right? And you can have great joy. And finally, the law of faith. So Romans 3:27, where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Say, I have the law of faith working in me. Supernaturally. How many know you didn't do any, you didn't do anything to earn it? But when you were born again, he gave it to you. Hallelujah. To the Lord God Almighty. Unless it will give you a, I'll give you a last fill-in and then example. We're going to have our circle prayers today. So the fill-in is the law of faith. We trust in God's love for us. And as a result, the word becomes alive within us. Whatever you believe, you receive. Say, whatever I believe, I receive. I'll tell you one more story. How many of you remember Greg Moore when he was here? Greg Moore is kind of over the Bible school of Andrew Womack's out in Colorado, Colorado Springs. Greg Moore, as a young man, had cancer of the thyroid. Say, that's not good. And yet he was a believer, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he believed that God could heal anything because he'd already, what? Taken not only all our sins, but all our sicknesses on his body on the cross, right? And so he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, what do I need to do to activate this healing? And the Lord said to him, I want you to go to these three elders in your church and believe, read James chapter 5, confess your faults to these elders, and they will pray for you and you will be healed. And so he did, and he was healed. A little while later, or many years later actually, his son fell sick, not the same sickness. And so he took his son back to these three elders, but nothing happened. So he went back to God. How many know that we prosper by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word. Say every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he went back to the Lord. He said, where did I miss it? I thought it was okay for me to go to the elders. The Lord said, that was how I chose to heal you and activate the healing for you at that time. But now, here's how we're going to work it. He said, I want you and your son to start having a Bible study about healing. And in the midst of your study, he'll be healed. So they began to study, and about 3 or 4 weeks into it, son was healed. They continued on because they were enjoying it so much. So the law of faith, it works as we stop and listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Tell your neighbor, you have to listen. Okay. Everybody good? All right. Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to have Pastor Kimberly come, and we're going to divide up in different circles. And how we're going to pray is we're going to pray. Every one of us has the royal law of love. We have the perfect law of liberty, and we have the law of faith. Some of us need these laws activated in our lives in a brand new dimension. So that's how we're going to pray. But I want to just share with you some things that the Holy Spirit gave me over the last few weeks. And this is, you can write on the back of your notes if you want to do this, but God just downloaded these things to me. I said, talk to me about where we are and what you're about to do. I need to know. How many know it's okay to inquire of the Lord and ask God, right? This is, first thing he told me was this. Regardless of the election, more storms are coming. And he said, the storms in the second heaven we see, I think Louisiana has had four recently, and I wouldn't have gotten this by my own. He said, as a result, he said, here's the reason. He said, I'm sending my military angels to the earth. He said, they're landing on planet Earth. He said, the enemy knows their time is short. And he said, these are the same angels that kicked them out of heaven. And they're landing now. They're not landing all at once, but they're landing now. And a lot of this that you're seeing that's kicked up is as a result of this. All right? He said, they also are sent to help establish God's kingdom. See, the Bible says that Hebrews 1:14 says that he sends his angels to us to help us preach the gospel. They don't do the preaching, but they act on our words as we preach the gospel. And so how many know we need those angel warriors, right? He said, number two, as a result of their coming, like they are, he said there will be increase of deliverances as a result. We're going to start seeing a lot of deliverances from people that are ready to get out of where they have been, right? God's going to use you for that. I mean, no, that's why we need to be bold. That's why we are God's goodly horse in the battle. All right? So I don't like the time we're in. Tough. That's the time we're in. You need to get used to it. All right. Number three, Satan has tried to overthrow God's timetable. And I'm going to give you a few references, and you can check it out. You can write it down, check it out. Daniel 7:25-27. Daniel 7:25-27. And then Daniel 2:21-23. But the word is he will fail. Okay? Number four, as we worship and pray, a spirit of confusion will descend on God's enemies. All right? How many know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? We wrestle against what? Powers and principalities, right? And what is our warfare? Our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And part of that, we see the release come as we worship God. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you've got to be a worshiper. Because it was the same thing in 2 Chronicles 20:20. It's when they worship God that the enemy started fighting amongst themselves, right? That's a good thing, by the way. If you're being tormented by the enemy, turn off the TV, get before God, and start worshiping and praising God. I love that in Psalm 68. It says, let God arise and what? His enemies be scattered. But before that, it says, let God arise and his name be exalted. Then it says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. All right. Number five, this is going to be a time of real harvest. Say hallelujah. He said, low-hanging fruit. Why? People are afraid out there. People are afraid. Your friends will turn to you as things get tighter and the storm clouds gather and the enemy tries to oppress them. They're going to turn to you because they've been watching your life. And they're going to say, you probably have an answer for me. They have been, up until now, they've hesitated. But I believe that the times, they are a-changing, pal. They're changing. And God's going to use you in a mighty way. Tell your neighbor, God's going to really use you powerfully. And then, there's going to be a real distinction between the wheat and the tares. By the way, this is interesting. I didn't get a chance to read this, but it just said 32,000 health experts make a declaration against lockdowns in the future. You know, say amen to that. By the way, as believers, we should be totally fearless. And if we have fears, how many know he can take care of them? If we have fears left, he can take care of them because he's faithful. I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to stand, and I'm going to call Kimberly down, and we'll divide up into circles, and we'll have our prayer. Okay. This is a scripture the Lord gave me, and the final thing I have to share with you. This is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18. I love this. This is so cool. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord listened and heard them. I mean, God's listening to you even in your conversation with each other, right? And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Say, my name is in his book. His book of remembrance. And then it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day when I prepare my special possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Lean over and tell your neighbor, God is sparing you. Because he loves you, and he has a great plan for you in these last days. He said, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then you will again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So if I had a hat, I'd take it off for you because you're serving God. You're not afraid to come to the house of God. And I take my spiritual hat off to you. And I just say that for you, for us, our best days are right ahead of us. Can you say amen? And the people that are fearful, the people that need our help, soon they will turn. They will ask you for prayer. They will ask you for help because they sense you haven't condemned them. You've loved them. The law of love. You've forgiven them. You've released them if there was any issues in the first place. And now you're going to see the reward. So, Pastor Kim, come on. Let's everybody stand.
Okay, so we're going to do prayer circles this